Thank the Lord
that we know what we're singing about when we sing about being saved.
Amen.
Well, you have got that thing on tonight, ain't you?
Amen.
That preacher's saying he's wondering what's wrong in here. Sounded pretty good to me. Didn't it? I tell you one thing that's wrong. It's too cold in here. I'm about to freeze to death. It might be just because you can't worship. It might have been because I was sitting over on that thing, but I noticed some of you got sweaters and coats on. Might ought to. I don't know what the temperature is in here.
It's cold.
You like it cold?
Yeah.
I like to sweat a little bit, eh? Yeah, okay. Amen. No, I appreciate what the Lord's done. Boy, last night was a blessing, wasn't it? You see this young man back over here that got saved last night? Some of you, I think, left before he finally got out of the oven back here. But the Lord done a work in his heart, and I appreciate that. And you could tell that the Lord was working on him. And this is Wednesday night, and I'm going to bring a message that I don't think that I've preached. Maybe this is the second time, and probably, I don't know, 8-10 years. I've only done it about 3 times out in churches since I've been preaching. And it's something that I feel a little bit awkward doing, but it's been on my heart all day long. There's no doubt in my mind that what I'm going to preach tonight is what the Lord wants me to preach. I'm sure of it, and I can't always say that. I'm as sure as I can be, and I want to preach to you tonight on the subject about the church and the pastor. The church and the pastor. Now, as an evangelist, it's really none of my business how you operate here, but there are some things in the Word of God that I believe that every church needs to know and have their attitude right toward the man of God.
Amen.
Yeah, I find so much ignorance. I'd probably be in at least 35 churches this year besides our church, and I find so much ignorance of churches, and it's not deliberate every time. It's just maybe folks have never been told of how to respond, react to, and their attitude toward God's man. The church is not run like a business downtown. And if you want to have a mess, you try to operate God's work like a tire store or a clothing store or something like that, it don't work that way. Everything you do is not supposed to be, have to be financially profitable. You know, most churches are set up like that. Anything that's mentioned, the first thing everybody wants to know is, well, how is this going to hurt us financially? What difference does that make? What about the Lord, brother? What about souls? What about God's work and the work of the Lord? Money's not supposed to control what we do. We're supposed to just do all that we can do for the glory of God. Now, churches are not, a church is not necessarily an organization. We have some organization. A church is an organism. And it's the only living thing on this earth that God has left here. And outside of being born again and a part of the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing has life. Everything else is dead. So that puts a church in a completely different ball field than the Moose Clubs and Lions and Kiwanis Clubs and Masons, you know, and things like that. Now, tonight I want to preach to you tonight on the subject, the church and the pastor. Look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 17. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. But first let's look at verse 7 of Hebrews 13. Verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you. Who's that talking about, preacher? Who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you. Now, who in the world is he talking about? It's not a Jewish Old Testament priest. It sure ain't the Pope in Rome. Who's he talking about? According to verse 7, the one that preached the Word of God to you. And submit yourselves. Why? For they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. for that is unprofitable for you. What a verse.
Yeah.
What a verse of Scripture.
Yeah.
Do you, if I understand that verse of Scripture, do you realize what I just read to you folks? That verse says that the pastor is going to give an account for your soul to God. Think about that. People say, well, I'm going to straighten out that preacher. Hey, buddy, you're not going to give an account for him. He's going to give an account for you. Ain't that right? You're not going to give an account for what he does. He's going to give an account for what you do. And make it with joy. He's going to give an account one of two ways. He's going to be able to say, praise God, boy, it was a joy to be their pastor, Lord.
Yeah.
Or he's going to say, Lord, them people put gray hair in my head and made it fall out. Is that right?
Yeah.
Somebody been mean to him already, I can tell that.
Yeah.
But did you know something? Well, don't worry about it. I'm just kidding, brother. Some people's hair turns gray, some turn loose. But anyway, and the Bible said that's unprofitable for you. You ain't going to get no reward for it if you're a pain in his neck. But if you're faithful and do what you're supposed to, you're going to get a reward for being the church member that you ought to be. So I'm going to talk to you tonight about the church and his pastor, and there's a million things I could say. I'm glad you didn't have much singing tonight. Because we may going to be here a while, and I'm just going to unload my burden tonight and get it off my heart, what the Lord's placed on my heart this evening. I heard a great preacher say one time, and I've never forgot it. He said, if the average young doctor had as much force working against him as the average young preacher does against him, he would never perform his first surgery. He said if the average lawyer had as much working against him and his cause as a preacher does against him, he would never try his first case. He'd never make it. A man to pastor a church in the 1990s and stand on that book and just preach it just like it is. And not, you know, claim to heal people and claim to, you know, to be able to promise people they'll drive Cadillacs and wire new clothes and just get up and say, this is the way it is. And if you don't like it, that's tough. A man that can do that nowadays, he's either crazy or he's in God's will. One of the two. We are up against tremendous odds, man, on what we are trying to do. You talk about minority, brother. We are in a minority big time tonight. We have no idea. We're like trying to stop the ocean with holding up a piece of plastic like this. It's unbelievable what we're up against. We're crazy to try to do what we're doing if God hadn't called us. There's a man told me one time, he told me over and he said, Danny, there's some of my neighbors talking about you the other day. I said, is that right? And he said, you know what he said? He said, that boy is bound, he's either crazy or he's in God's will, one of the two. I said, you're right. You make up your mind which one you think it is. Now tonight, I don't know your pastor very good. I guess why it's not. I talked to him about 10 minutes. There's a bunch of other people around. He's the most I've ever spent any time with him. And I understand that he started church. I didn't know that till last night. But I ought to tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, some of you folks right here probably have no idea in the world how bad it is out there in this country. You just can't just go into any church nowadays and hear a message from the Bible and from somebody that gets it from the Lord. It's pitiful. It's pitiful what some people have to listen to every Sunday and call that preaching. I tell you, it's a shame and a disgrace. If you've got a man that loves you and lives right and preaches the book, Lord have mercy. You just don't know how blessed you really are. You don't know how thankful you ought to be. Now, he ain't going to say amen a lot tonight, so you just go sleep, bro. Just take a nap a while. Now, let me talk to these people a minute. I want to tell you what, brother, I have no idea in this world what I was getting into when I started pastoring. Lord, mercy. You've got to be a little, you've got to be, you, you got to know everything. You've got to be a marriage counselor, psychiatrist, a plumber, electrician. I mean, you've got to know everything there is to know about everything. I mean, you got to know how to solve problems. And I mean, glory, you wouldn't believe what you, no matter what you do, somebody don't like it. If you drive a nice car, you know, they'll say, ah, he's getting rich. He makes too much money. If you drive an old beat up car, they say, I'm embarrassed for him. It looks like he'd pray God might give him a good car. I mean, boy, if he wears nice clothes, people say, well, he's stuck on himself and he spends too much money on. But if he don't, people would say, our pastor ought to shine his shoes once in a while and try to make them that somebody's always got something to say. You know, I've been accused up there in our town's little, like this town. We have a small town, and our church is the largest church in our county. And boy, you talk about catching it. I've been accused of everything that you can imagine. I've been accused of everything from selling drugs to beating the babies in the nursery. I am not kidding tonight. They said that, they were talking about last night, they said that I wouldn't let none of the women in our church shave their legs. That's right. Somebody invited somebody to church, they say, no, sir, I ain't going up there. That's why that preacher don't let you shave your legs if you're a woman. They come and told me about that, and I got up in our church. I said, ladies, I don't care if you shave your legs or not. That's between you and your husband. It ain't none of my business. Personally, I think it looks a little gross, but that's your business. I said, that's if your husband, I mean, over in Germany, man, they wear old big old hairy legs like a man, put their hose down over them. That looks sick. Somebody said, Lord, in mercy, you know, what is it? You got buckwheat in the headlock, or what is that? And brother, you don't never know what they're allowed to do. And did you know tonight, my dear friend, I told him, I said, I don't care if it is. You know, I shouldn't have said that. You know what they said? They said we locked the doors in our church. They said we locked all the doors in our church when services started, and we wouldn't let people out if they're sick. And they're going to have the fire department come down there and check us to make sure that we weren't locking up sick people. They said that I made everybody in the church sell their TV and give me the money. They said, you name it, brother. You name it. It's been said. Now, let me tell you what, brother. Listen, you think it's easy to try to pastor a church in this day and time? Y'all just try. Go down here and get you a building and start one, brother. And see how many you can get come to hear you in 6 or 8 months. Boy, I'll tell you, these know-it-alls, these Monday morning dime store quarterbacks who've never played a game of ball in their life, And boy, they can sure tell you every mistake that the Dallas Cowboys made on Sunday, can't they? Now, it's very easy for you to sit back in your seat, you know, in your easy chair in your living room, and watching it on slow motion on an instant replay. You're 50 yards above the field, and it's easy for you to say, oh, dummy, right down there he is. Throw it to him. Why could I take him out? I wouldn't play him if I was that coach. I'm that sorry quarterback. I'll tell you. But let's put you down there on that field. And now here you are, you're down here on this field, you're just this tall, see? And all is about 85,000 people screaming their guts out at you, and from every direction, thousands and thousands of watts of light shining on you from every direction. And boy, you're going to have that ball snapped in your hand, and as soon as that ball snaps, you got about 3 seconds, and there's about 15 big goons about that wide coming right at you like bulldozers. Let's see, you thought that fellow way down. Let's see, why they'd cream you, man. I mean, that's snatting you out just like that. And it's easy to sit back there in the pew and say, well, the preacher ought to have done this, and the preacher ought to have done that, and his tie was crooked, and I've heard him tell that story before, and I've heard it. Let's get you up here one Sunday and give you a whammy at it. Boy, I'd like to see you try to do this sometime. It ain't near as easy as it looks, I can tell you that. Yes, sir. Man, I'll get in the message in a minute if I ever get through talking to you. I want to tell you what, brother. I'm going to talk about the church's attitude toward the man of God. The first thing I want to say, I'm going to say three things tonight, and a bunch of things under them, three things. And the first thing is this, you ought to respect him. The man of God deserves your respect. Oh, brother, we're living in a day when preachers, matter of fact, nobody respects much anybody anymore. I tell you, just because Jim Baker messed up and Jimmy Swaggart messed up does not mean all preachers are crooks and running around on their wives and stealing money from widows and taking people's Social Security checks. Just because some mess up, listen, God's still got thousands and thousands of preachers out in these little old country churches that are living right and living off a modest salary and are praying and paying their bills. Excuse me. Saying something. Testimony. Testimony.
I just thank God for saving my soul from hell. If it wasn't for him, I'd be burning right now. Back in 1985,
amen.
I'm out in fiery pits, and I'm going to heaven tonight. I've got a home laid up there for me, and a Savior that's waiting to see me one of these days, and I can't wait to go see him. I wish he'd come back tonight. Amen.
Amen. Amen. One more. That's the first time that's ever happened.
He is my refuge and my fortress. In him I will trust.
Amen.
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 Amen. That's good. That's good. I got that fly. Anybody else, right quick?
Thank God for getting me into Cleveland. I believe in Baptist Church. Not enough to be in one.
Yeah.
I remember in first few services, I didn't know what I needed.
Yeah.
God just kept me in there. Kept me in there and showed me some things. I was back here for 6 years. Lukewarm, cold.
Yeah.
He's got taught me things every day. He brought me along and brought me along and taught, teach new things every day.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good. Somebody else. I just got warmed up there, and I'll get started preaching in a minute.
Amen.
You ain't going to believe this. That's the first time that's ever happened to me since I've been preaching, 18 years. Anybody else? I swallowed something. Anybody else? Right quick. Go ahead, sister. Amen. Anybody else? Right quick. Amen. That's having it right quick.
Well, I thank God tonight that I'm saved, and like I was telling a few of them out front tonight, I thank God for good hard preaching. I said, thank God. I said, boy, you like it? I said, yes, sir. I'd be drunk tonight.
I saw somebody else, I thought.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, sister. Isn't that funny how the Lord just stopped me there so we could hear all these good testimonies? Anybody else? Right quick. Amen. 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 Anybody else? Right quick. I'm ready to go.
I'd like to say, I thank God that he picked me, like you was talking about, like how Jesus treated that man. He done me the same way. I didn't care about God. I didn't want nothing to do with God, but he in some way just got me around here to the church, and I was all confused about religion and everything, but thank God for Brother Jerry preached the truth to me.
Yeah.
And he stood for what he believed in, and God saved me.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Right quick.
Well, I thank God for saving me tonight. I thank him so much for putting me in church. Who I know what he's come to. I know
what glory to God. Boy, it's getting good, preacher. It's getting good. It's unusual. I prayed all evening for the Lord just to do something. And I didn't pray that much for this service, but I've been praying today. And the Lord might be going to do something special here. Anybody else? Amen. Tuning in on my station there now. Slow down. I'm getting to that about them holding Moses' arms up. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We got a lady in our church that come out of the Mormon church. Been in it 14 years. The Lord saved her. Anybody else? Right quick. Getting good now. It's getting good.
Brother Dan, I'm glad I'm saved tonight. It wasn't for that. He preached a message to me the other night on being material to be a deacon on the qualification. If it wasn't for a message on being material for a deacon, I'd be material for hell tonight.
Amen. Amen. Boy, this is unusual. I don't believe I've ever been in a service just like it. I've preached thousands of times, and that's the first time that's ever happened to me. What happened a minute ago? Something went down my goozle. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. I know what yous are doing. Yous are saying, well, if we brag on him and act like we're right. He'll go ahead and say, well, ain't no use in preaching that sermon. And dismiss you and you'll go home. That's what you're doing, you crooks. You're a bunch of crooks. Anybody else right quick? I'm going to finish it anyway, just in case there's somebody here.
That's right. Yeah, I'm glad I'm saved.
Amen, brother.
Brother Jerry, when he came up my house one night, he led my wife to the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. Did you know you'll never, ever, ever be able to repay the man that led you to Jesus? You never pay him back. You owe him something till the day you die. Anybody else? Somebody else?
I just want to thank the Lord for my pastor, my uncle, and his wife, my aunt. She's wanting to tell me how to get saved. And I was 8 years old. And I got back to
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Boy, it's getting good, folks. It's getting good.
Yeah, I may be one of those Southern Baptists, but that's my pastor.
Amen, brother. Anybody else? You know, have you ever been to a church? I feel sorry, Lord help. I would hate to have to listen to what some people have to listen to every Sunday. I feel sorry for them. My soul, have you been out on vacation in the last few years and you thought, well, now we'll find us a good church to go to where we can hear some preaching, take your family in? It's hard to find, folks. It's hard to find. Boy, I'll tell you, you'd be like that old preacher. He's up over in, I don't know, he's in England or somewhere, and he's one of these guys, you know, just come out and give a little lecture every Sunday morning. And he'd come out, you know, and prance around out there in a robe or some kind of old dress on or something. And he'd come out there and he'd say, "Dearly beloved, as we look into the Holy Scriptures," and you know, all that kind of bull for about 15 or 20 minutes. And boy, I'll tell you what, he'd get on there, and there's this one fellow way up in the balcony. They didn't have a PA system back then. Said way up there, and he said, "I say, old brother, could you speak up just a tad? I can't hear you." And boy, he went on like that for a few more minutes, about 10 minutes. That same guy stood up. He said, "I say, old chap, could you speak up a tad? I can't hear you." And boy, he just went on like that for a few more minutes. Finally, that guy stood up back there again. I say, brother, could you speak up? We can't hear you. Some guy way down here on about the second row turned around and stood up and said, "Hey, brother, just thank God you can't hear and sit down and shut up." Boy, I'll tell you. I tell you what, I'd hate to hear what some of them hear. Yeah. I like that old black preacher one morning. He'd get up, you know, and every Sunday morning he'd call on his deacon. He'd say, "Brother so-and-so, lead us in prayer." And that old deacon would bow his head and he'd say, "Lord, give our preacher unction." And then that next Sunday morning, and he'd call on him again. He'd say, "Brother, lead us in prayer." And he'd say, "Lord, give our preacher unction." You know, like the unction in the Holy Spirit in the Bible. And every Sunday, he'd ask that deacon, he'd say, "Lead us in prayer." He'd say, "Lord, give our preacher unction." Somebody stopped him one Sunday morning. He said, Brother, what happened to that unction you're always praying for the preacher to have?" He said, "Well, brother, I don't rightly know what it is, but I sure know when a man ain't got it." I tell you what, brother, listen, I thank God for a man who knows what unction is and preaches the Word of God with unction of the Holy Spirit. So, where was I when I was so rudely interrupted? Yeah, you respect him. The man of God deserves your respect. Now listen, you may say, you'll be here tonight, and you may say, "Well, Brother Danny, I am just as smart as he is." Well, maybe you are. That has absolutely nothing to do with it. God has set up an order in the church. And it goes like this. It goes, pastor here. He's the leader. The people follow the pastor. And the deacons do what the people tell them to do. Amen? There ain't nowhere in that Bible where it says deacons tell anybody to do anything. I'll give you $1,000 tonight if you can show me where any deacon has a right to tell anybody anything in the Word of God. It ain't in there. It's not in there. It's not in the Word of God. Now, some people say, "Well, our deacons hired the preacher this week," and then they fired him. And they run up. Deacons have no right to hire or fire anybody. Deacons don't give orders. They take orders. God don't call the deacons to tell the preacher what to do. He calls the preacher to tell the deacons what to do. That's right, brother. We've got this thing turned all around, all backwards. I know what happened to a lot of these little old country churches. They had a pastor, and the pastor left. And when the pastor left, they went through about a year's time there with no pastor. So the deacons took charge of it. And they run the church for about a year. Then when the new pastor come in, they wasn't willing to turn that authority back over to him. And they've been running it for 30 years. And it can't grow and it can't be blessed. And God's man ain't free to do what he feels led of God to do. because he's got some deacon breathing down his throat every time he tries to turn around. You respect God's man as the leader. It's just like in your home. God has an order. He's got husbands. He has wife. He has children. That does not mean the husband's any better than the wife. That does not mean he's any smarter, any more spiritual, or God loves him anymore. It's just God's order. That's all there are to it. And God said, wives, be in a subjection to your husband, right? Now, if you are doing right and you love the Lord, you ladies have to be under subjection to your husband. There is no getting out of it. You can't change that. That's what God said. It don't mean you're dumber than he is. It don't mean you may be a lot smarter than he is. You may be more spiritual than he is. But it's God's plan. And brother, when God sets up an order, he wants that order to be followed. You need to respect his decisions. The Bible said, whose faith follow. You need to respect his decision. You know, a lot of preachers can't do what God told them to do because they're afraid everybody will take a fit. You need to respect his decision. I didn't say always agree. I said respect. There is no way in the world. I don't know how many people you have here on Sunday. I have no idea. I don't even know if you got any deacons. But there is no way in the world that everybody in here is going to agree on everything. It cannot be done. It won't happen. You know what you've got to do? You've just got to say, all right, Lord, he's my pastor. I believe you sent him here. I'm going to follow him. If it turns out wrong, he's going to have to answer for it, right? If you fuck him and you fight him and you gripe and he turns out to be right and you turn out to be wrong, you're in trouble, big boy. And I'm telling you what, brother of the Lord, you know what God said about messing with a preacher? You can get yourself in more trouble than you'll ever get out of by messing with a man of God. Everywhere I go, people try to pull me and say, what do you think about this preacher? You know what I try to do? I try to keep my mouth off of them, because if they're God's man, I don't want the Lord on my case. And if they're not God's man, who cares anyway what they do? I'm telling you, you need to respect his decision. Up yonder in Marion tonight, there's a crowd of people. In fact, I got up there this coming Sunday morning, and I don't know how many people we had there Sunday morning. I guess we had had 700 for preaching last Sunday morning. And if I got up there this Sunday morning, you listen to me, if I got up there this coming Sunday morning and I said, people, the Lord's dealt with me all this week, and I think we ought to buy that business over there across the street, and I don't know where we're going to get the money, and it's $200,000, but I know the Lord told me to do it. Let's do it. I'll guarantee you they'd vote to do it. I'll guarantee it. There ain't no doubt in my mind. You say, Lord in mercy, you a dictator? No, I'm not a dictator at all. And just to show you I'm not, if I went up there Sunday morning and they all said let's do it, and I personally thought it was a bad idea, I thought, all right, let's go for it. You know why? Because I respect them, they respect me. You've got to have some respect in the house of God and respect God's man. You say, well, I didn't think God bought that parking lot next door. I just don't. Oh, just hush, man. Just go with God and go with the house of God and let God's man lead, and the Lord will take care of it. That's right. You respect his decisions. Hey, if he decides this is where God wants him, just let her go. Heard about this lady come up to her pastor, and she said, Pastor, you've been here 10 years now, and I believe it's time for you to move on. I believe your time is up. And he looked at her and he said, now, ma'am, if I remember correctly, you was here when I came here. According to that, your time's done been up. You ought to be gone first. That's right, brother. Amen. Did you know there's some little old country churches up there? There might be some around here. I don't know. There's some country churches up where I'm from that votes every year on whether or not to keep their pastor. Do they do that down here? Where in the world did that come from? Where's God in all of this? What about God placing me? Hey, brother, it's not fair to put a man on trial every single year. Well, I voted for him last year. I don't believe I'll vote for him this year. Why? Because he preached against something you done wrong and tried to help you get right with God, and you got mad about it? You appreciate a man will tell you what you're doing wrong. He's trying to keep you from being in trouble with God at the judgment one day. Instead of griping and fussing and hollering and screaming about it, you ought to say, thank God he had enough love in his heart to tell me where I'm wrong. I was up preaching in a little old mountain church way over in the sticks. Way over from where I live. And boy, I got up and I got on that one night. And you ain't going to believe. There's been weird things happen when I preach. I'm serious. And boy, I'll tell you what. I got on that. I said, they some of these little old churches, it's a shame and a disgrace, have election every year and vote whether or not they want to keep their pastor. Now notice nobody didn't say that. I said, you just don't do that around here, do you? One old, look, I reckon he is an old deacon sitting on the front row, said, yep. I said, well, you ought not to. I just kept right on breathing. And I said, hey, man, fair's fair.
Yeah.
If you vote on him every year, he ought to get the vote on you.
Amen.
Amen. Let's let him size you up. Have you been here every Wednesday night? Have you been to Sunday school? Have you paid your tithes? Have you been on visitation? Well, he might vote you out this year. Amen, brother. What's good for the preacher is good for the member. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, you ought to respect his decision. By the way, did you know the Bible said you ain't even supposed to receive an accusation against an elder without two or three witnesses? Do you know if somebody calls you and say, well, did you know what I heard about the preacher? Say, where's your two witnesses and I'll listen to them.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Buddy, I tell you, it's a shame and a disgrace that God's man gets to everything in the world on him. And brother, listen, if a man's standing for God, they're going to hatch up every old lie out of hell that they can think of to try to discredit that man. Lord, help folks, you wouldn't believe what's been told on me. You wouldn't. Somebody said the other day, said, Danny, I want to ask you something. They said the police got you the other night. You wrecked the Volkswagen. You was drunk on the backside of the lake. I said, I ain't got a Volkswagen. And I ain't never been drunk in my life.
Amen.
I don't even know what it feels like.
Amen.
They said that my son wrecked my red Ferrari. I don't have a son or a Ferrari. And that something, I forgot what all they said. They said that you wouldn't believe. They said that my daddy was a millionaire and paid the church off and everything else because they was going to run me off. And he paid all the buildings off so that they wouldn't make me leave. I mean, you name it, brother. But I tell you what, it feels good to have some people stand with you and say, yeah, listen, preacher, we respect you as God's man. That don't mean he's always right. That don't mean he's always perfect. That means, hey, we respect his position and we respect his decision. Not only that, we respect his method. You may not necessarily agree with him. He may have another revival next month. You say, Lord, I don't know what we need another for. We just had one last month. Just say, listen, God told our preacher to have another. We'll have another.
Yeah.
Learn to respect his methods, special dates, and so forth, and so on. He is the pastor. Listen, he is the man of God. I can tell in our church who respects me behind my back by how their kids treat me.
Yeah.
Some of our kids run up to me and they'll say, Hey, Brother Danny, can I get you a drink of water? Can I do something for you? I know that their mom and daddy talks good about me when I ain't around.
Yeah.
I see one of them, I say, hey, boy, you straighten up. Quit running in the hallway. And they say, leave me alone. I know what kind of mom and daddy he's got.
Yeah.
Listen, brother, you need to respect God's man.
Amen.
Heard about that preacher that having a revival in a church somewhere. Him and the pastor went over to eat dinner with some people. And they had the big meal set out there, you know, on the table. And the little old boy, you know, would sit there. And they had chicken and dumplings and, you know, and everything out there. And everything just right for the preacher and the evangelist. About time they got ready to eat, the little boy said, Mama, where's the buzzard? And she said, shh, hush, son, we're not here. This is chicken. He said, Mama, where's the buzzard? And she said, son, be quiet. You know better than that. We're not having buzzards today. He said, Mama, you said them two old buzzards is coming over here. Well, I'll tell you what, listen, if you don't respect God's man, you'll reap it in your children. Do you know that? You'll reap it in your children. One of these days when you're wanting your kids to listen and they're out there on drugs and they're some kind of rock and roll fanatic or something like that, you'll say, I wish somebody could get through to them and they don't have no confidence in the church or the preacher because you talked about it all evening on Sunday and you didn't like this, you didn't like that, and you're mad. Lord have mercy, the preacher's wife, bless her heart, she can't win. I mean, I I've seen a many of them, brother. And I'm not married, you know, and I don't have to worry about that. But I'll tell you one thing, brother. Listen, I know some preachers' wives, Lord, no matter what they do is wrong, no matter what they say is wrong, if she backs him up and she tries to become a part, people say she's trying to run the church. And if she don't, they'll say, well, she just don't support her husband. I mean, no matter what she does, people, she's expected to be at every baby shower and buy everybody a gift and have all kinds of money for everybody for Christmas and always visit them when they're in a hospital. I'll tell you what, folks, you need to respect your pastor and his family. Amen. If he preaches on something you don't like, I mean, if it hits you, your grandma, or your papa, just let the chips fall where they will and say, God, listen, listen, your respect is preaching. Y'all know to get up there and say, I know why he said that. He just said that cross the Lord. You better watch your mouth, brother. It might have been God that laid that on his heart. Yeah, it's a dangerous thing for you to sit back and judge the preacher while he's preaching. Amen. You better just sit there and say, Lord, what he's doing is between him and you. If you're trying to speak to me, open my heart and speak to me. You know what I've noticed, Brother Jerry? People don't mind it a bit unless you preach on their sin. They don't care how much you talk about everybody else out there, but the gift. The guilty dog always barks. There ain't no use you getting mad and preaching it. Getting mad preaching against something you do. It ain't his fault. What are you mad at him for? Well, I tell you one thing. I don't like what... Oh, you mean you're guilty, right? Is that what you mean? He quit preaching and went to meddling. Why? Because he got off on your sin? He preached about them drug addicts, you know, them prostitutes and all that stuff. Boy, when he brings it home and starts talking about visitation and prayer and doing right, well, I don't know. Sometimes I think he gets stuff in his head and he just thanks God. Why? Because he rung your bell? Guilty dog always barks. You know, there's an old pack of coon dogs hanging around down out in my driveway. Boy, they're all piled up down there, you know, moaning and groaning. I get tired of hearing it, and I go out in the middle of the night and grab a big old rock and run back, you know, and sling it all the way down there. And I hear one of them go, ah. You know which one does that, don't you?
Yeah.
One that got hit.
Yeah.
But did you know if one of these church members, if they jump up, and boy, they run out of church, go home, get on that telephone. I know what's wrong with them. They done got hit. Guilty dog always marks. Well, I don't like one of them. Heard about this one preacher. He's preaching a meeting somewhere off one time, and boy, he preached on something rough. And he seen this one woman in that church just swell up like a big frog. Look at him. Look. Boy, if looks could kill, she'd have shot him dead in the pulpit. She punched her husband, who was a deacon. When that service was over, she grabbed him by the arm and marched him out of there. She went, I mean, he's one of these little push button kind, you know, that don't do nothing until she pushes a button. And that's darling, whatever you say. I do. He was one of them kind, you know. And boy, she marched him out there and she said, I'm not going back. You're not going back. I'm going to call everybody in the church that I can and tell them not to that revival meeting. And furthermore, when this thing's over with, we're going to get rid of that preacher for having somebody like that in to preach to us. And buddy, that thing died deader than 4 o'clock. And at the end of the week, the preacher sat down with the evangelist and said, brother, he said, here's your offering. He said, we want to give you a good love offering, cover your expenses, you know, and everything. He said, it ain't much, but he said, you know what's wrong, don't you? He said, yeah, I know what's wrong. He said, that one sermon you preached that second or third night, it ruined this revival. That deacon's wife put pressure on him. They're probably going to get rid of me as a pastor when you're gone. And he said, I'm sorry, brother. He said, they deducted $300 from your love offering for that sermon you preached the other night and gave him a little check. Preacher said, well, praise God, brother. So I didn't know I had one worth $300.
Yeah.
Here, I'd give $300 get to preach that old hussy again. Amen. I will tell you what, brother, you need to respect him. The guilt, hey, there ain't no use in getting mad at the preacher for preaching about, if I get up there and I say, you ought not to murder, you ought not to murder, and you're out murdering people, don't get mad at me, man. That's like a woman getting mad and smashing her mirror because it shows her the wrinkles in her face. It ain't the mirror's fault. It ain't my fault you ain't doing right. Don't even blame me for it. Straighten up, boy. Straighten up. Get right with God. You need to respect him. And you need to respect the man of God. And there's no woman in here that God has placed a divine call on you to keep the preacher straight or to tell somebody when he messes up. God called all you women to the shut up ministry. That's your ministry. He called you to shut up.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says study to be quiet.
Yeah.
That's right. But you always got somebody who feels it's their responsibility to warn all the other innocent sheep of that wicked thing that the preacher did. Oh yeah, I've seen the Lord set a many of them on the shelf that done that. But let me say secondly this evening, right quickly, this has been a strange service. You ought to obey him. Not only respect him, you ought to obey him. I didn't say it, that's what God said. God called you to obey him. I'm not implying the preacher's a dictator. It's not like the preacher sets up here and gives orders and you just carry them out. It's not like that. It's preacher saying, I follow the Lord, you follow me as I follow the Lord. He ain't going to ask you to do something he won't do himself. You know, that's the way a church works. A preacher ain't supposed to ask anybody to do something he's not willing to try to do himself. If he tells you to pray, he's going to pray. He tells you to read 10 chapters in the Bible, then he's going to read 10 chapters in the Bible. He tells you to witness, he's going to witness. I mean, that's the way it's supposed to work. And then you obey him. I don't see why some churches even have a preacher. They don't listen to what he said. They have no intentions of doing anything that he said. Why don't they just forget it, man? Take that money and give it to missionaries and watch a movie. For you for the day, you ought to obey the man of God. If you want to be the boss, go start your own church. God puts a man there to tell you what to do, and if you don't like taking orders, go start your own church and give them for a while.
Amen.
I tell you what, buddy, you can make his job a lot easier if you'll just get behind him and listen to what he... Listen, brother, it's a blessing to my heart to know I've got people behind me back home. It really is. You wouldn't believe it. When we went into our building program, you've been seeing our new building. Buddy, you thought things pretty, but you ought to have been there when we... Whew, y'all wouldn't believe it. I can't even begin to tell you the problems that we've had. I can't even begin to tell you the nightmare that it's been. Now, the Lord's blessed through it all. And ever since our church started, it's always grown. The Lord's always blessed. But boy, oh boy, oh boy. It's been World War III on one side, and then heaven come down, glory fill my soul on the other side. It's been completely two different. It's been heaven and hell. It's been great, and it's been horrible. And the devil's fought every step of the way, but God has took care of us. Listen, brother, in our area, it's a miracle if a church ever gets past 100. They split, and then the splits split, and the splits turned into splinters, man. There ain't nothing left, sawdust. I mean, you'll be going down the road, I don't know if it's that bad here. That's why there ain't hardly no Catholic churches in North Carolina. They can't find nowhere to build one. There's so many Baptist churches, brother, they ain't a street they can put a Catholic church. You'll be going down the road, says, Hope Baptist Church. About a half mile down the road, New Hope Baptist Church. About a half mile down the road, No Hope Baptist Church. I mean, they just keep getting littler and littler and littler. And them's mad at them, them got mad at them, and them got mad at them, them got mad at them. And they split, their little spike churches all over the place. But boy, it's good to stick together and work together. Listen, don't let the devil split this crowd. swallow some things you don't like. Go along with some things you don't agree with. Just so the devil can't stand back in life and say, ha, 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 I got him a fighting, Lord. I got him a fussing. Look at him, they're fussing. Listen, I've swallowed a lot of things I didn't like just to help my kids in a Bible-believing church right here. You know what I've seen people do up at home, brother? You ain't no hurry tonight, are you? I have no idea what time it is. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you a lot of stuff tonight. You know what I've seen people do up home? Them little voices start talking to them saying, it's time for you to leave, like that brother saying back there a while ago. And brother, they'll leave a Bible-preaching, Bible-believing, shouting church because of one issue they disagree with and go and join something that's better than 4 o'clock that supports every ungodly thing under creation almost and put their tithes in it. I don't believe God's in such a mess like that. I'd put up with a lot of stuff I didn't like just to get my kids in this kind of atmosphere where people shout and praise God. Amen. Yes, sir. You say, well, the people in the community talk about us, and they think we're a cult. I've come to the conclusion, if people in the community ain't calling you a cult, you ain't right with God. They called the disciples that in the book of Acts. They said, we know concerning this sect that everywhere it's spoken against. You better watch this crowd that nobody has something bad to say about them. They're accepted by the world. They're for the devil. Brother, I tell you what, my soul, when we started building that building, I thought, Lord, have mercy. I never built a building before. We got that thing started. We had trouble from day one. It's right downtown, just 3 blocks off Main Street. First problem, we bought a business out down there, and boy, I tell you, we tore it down, you know, and they didn't like that because they lost tax money off that business there. And all the big shops uptown, they did not want a church to be built there. Man alive, they just voted in beer and wine. They never sold beer and wine in our town my whole life till about 1984. They lost by 30 votes. None of us could vote because you had to live in the city limits, and the crooks rigged it up so they could get it voted in, you know, and they had to put the ABC store right up the street from my church. You can almost see it. Just right around a little curve, just a little way, maybe a couple of hundred yards. And boy, I'll tell you, they didn't like it. And a store right beside the church sold beer and wine. And our church building was behind a little convenience store like this. And the new property we bought was like this. So we went around him. There's a doctor's office right here. An unsaved German is the doctor there. And boy, the people uptown took a fit. The doctor took a fit. He calls me the praying man on the hill. He thinks we're crazy. We got one of those big signs up front, you know, that you can change the letters on, you know, and everything. The doctor said it was upsetting his heart patients because we put some nice little saying on there, you know, to share the love of Jesus with the community, like turn or burn or something like that. And boy, I'll tell you what, boy, we put it up there and he said, that's upsetting my heart patients. You know what he was doing when he was bulldozing to build our building? The ground was shaking real hard and it shook his building and jarred and knocked his computers out. Boy, he got mad. He come out there cussing and ranting and raving. And when he come back on, he'd lost a bunch of records and stuff, they said. Boy, I ain't felt led to talk to him ever since then. I tell you what, but it was awful. They was over here complaining because they said their business wasn't going good. We got into it with a fella who runs a store. And the fella that runs the store said, oh, you ain't buying nothing else from me because we're selling beer, huh? I said, now listen, we'll buy all of our bus gas from you. We'll support you. We'll help you out. You'll do better if you just leave that stuff. He said, no, I'm going to sell it. He said, if fumes can't buy them from you, you can't use my parking lot no more. And he got mad and said he wasn't selling much beer and wine because anybody was scared to come out in front of the church with it in a bag. I said, amen. If you're ashamed of it, you ought not to be doing it, right? They'd go up the street and buy it at the next store. Boy, I'll tell you one thing happening, another thing happening. I ain't going to go into all the real bad stuff. And the people uptown said, they said, you ain't got enough parking down there. And we went into a big thing with the city. And I ain't got time to tell you tonight, but boy, we went into a big thing meeting and praying and fasting and praying. And I finally set the city manager down. And I said, listen, the Lord won't. You know what they'd tell me? They'd meet me uptown and they'd say, Danny, your church is really doing good. I said, thanks a lot. They'd say, you know what you folks ought to do? You ought to go out in the country and buy you a nice, pretty hillside. And you know what they're saying? Well, you please get out of our hair. And I said, no, we're not going out in the country and buying a nice little hillside. Well, the Lord wants us right here. And I told the city manager that. He went to the board of the city council. Some of them got mad at him. And they said, hey, why'd you let them put that church building in there? And God evidently must have put the fear of God in that man. Because he told him, he said, that boy sat in my office and told me God wanted it there. And boy, it scared him, man. He said, the Lord must be in that. And the Lord put it down to work there. And we got it. But boy, all through thick and thin, through many dangers. Y'all seen us, you know, we was on TV a few years ago with the Strode family, you know, and it's coast to coast. You remember that when the little boys were preaching in school? That was all tied up into our church, you know. I mean, CNN, ABC, NBC, they was all at the church door. They was calling from all over the United States. Sally Jesse Raphael brought her show to Marion, you know. We was on their show, you know. And I mean, it got wild, man. I ain't kidding you. And the devil said, boy, about this same time, you know, I ain't going to go into a lot of personal problems tonight, but to make a long story short, I've got three girls at home tonight that I'm raising by myself. And brother, the other member of our ex-member of our party deserted us for a hippie. And brother, over four times over a period of 10 years. And brother, me and my girls have tried to stick in there and serve God. And those years was on national TV and is making fun of us. And boy, every Sunday morning they'd be out standing out in front of the church calling us names. They had big old signs out there in front of the church said, the cry of an unclean spirit had my name up there. They said on the front page of our local paper that if I didn't stand with them, that I wasn't saved. You know, they doubted my salvation. It's been, brother, it's been hell by the half acre. But what's been a blessing to me, and listen, the ladies in our church got together and carried hot meals to my house for 4 and 5 days a week at 4 o'clock every evening. There's one of them knocking on the door with supper and set it down so the girls could have something to eat when they come in from school. And brother, they set those meals down there, and finally I told them just to quit. We can't eat all this food. It's been a blessing to know that somebody's got confidence in you and believe in what you're doing. I'm telling you tonight, every demon in hell out of hell can't stop a church that'll stick together and back up the man of God. It can't be stopped. There ain't enough demons in Alabama to stop this thing if God will help you to stay together. You know where it gets you is when you start getting at each other's throat and biting at each other. Yes, sir, brother. Hey, I've got up and preached on Sunday morning to my ex-wife at home packing her clothes. Try that sometime. I've been in an argument with one of her boyfriends on the telephone in my office while the choir was up singing on Sunday night, and I have to just grab my Bible and run out and preach. You say, well, how do you do that? The Lord and a bunch of good people. I'm not fishing for your sympathy or nothing like that. I'm thank God that I'm saved. And the Lord's been good to me. I'm the happiest person you ever seen in your life. But I'm telling you tonight, brother, listen, the devil is going to fight any church that's doing a work for God. I've had phone calls. I've had my brake lines took loose in my car and tried to make me have a wreck. I live in the hills too, bud. You ain't got no hills around here. I ain't seen one since I've been here. I mean, you got to have brakes, buddy. I got in my car one morning. And it was a 5-speed, brand new Toyota. Took off up in the mountains to see my sister and took my mom with me. And I noticed I didn't have no brakes. I didn't tell mom, she would have died. She is scared to death riding me anyway. And boy, I said, I just won't say nothing to it. And I made it pretty good. While she was in there talking to my sister, I went out and checked it. The brake fluid was gone. I thought, well, somehow or another, my brake fluid's got leaked out. And all the way down the mountain, I'd gear it down. I won't slow down. I just put it in seconds, you know, and let the clutch out. She never noticed a thing all the way down the hill. Because I knew she'd have a heart attack if I told her we didn't have no brakes. We got down the hill. I pulled in a service station. She said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm going to check the brakes. What? We ain't got no brakes! I said, it's all right now, Mom. We're going to be all right. I took it to a mechanic, and I said, something wrong with my brakes. Won't you find out what's wrong with them? He said, okay. I come back a few hours later. I said, you get them fixed yet? And he said, yeah, it didn't take just a minute. And I said, really? What was it? And he said, you want to know the truth? I said, yeah, I want to know the truth. He said, you got some enemies? I said, yeah, I got some enemies. He said, somebody's trying to get you hurt. They took the lines loose on your car. I said, well, reckon it might have just jarred. He said, no, not at both ends. He said, that's been done with a wrench. And a brand new Toyota. Toyotas don't tire up. They don't know how to tire up. I hate to be a traitor, and I believe in America and all that, brother, but we can't compare with them Japs on them cars. I hate that. That's just the way it is. They don't tire up. That's why they give you them 50,000-mile warranty. They know good and well, M.A., you ain't going to come back in there in 50,000 miles. Don't ever buy one of them warranties. You don't need it. And they said, somebody trying to get you hurt, preacher. I said, whoa. You mean this? I've had phone calls. You wouldn't believe the times the people called and just blessed me out, cussed, hung the phone up. I knew this boy. This boy come to our church, and he went out in San Francisco and got AIDS, come back to Marion. And I told somebody, and I preached and used it for an illustration. Some woman called me up and blessed me out. She said, you have no right to my own. I said, ma'am, I'm just trying to help somebody else. And boy, blam, she hung up. Then I caught it from the Mormons. We showed that movie, The God Makers, and we advertised it. And boy, we put that thing in the paper, and we had about two whole pews full of Mormons show up that Sunday night. I mean, God, boy, we've been into it ever since. And God blessed that thing. And the Lord, somebody wrote a bit article today, how to keep my nose out of other people's religion, and blah, 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 you know, and put it in the newspaper. I wrote it back and said, a man don't know what he's talking about. Everything on the movie is documented. Everything is right. And let him prove it if it's not wrong. Or if it's wrong, if it's not right. One lady called me up one year and she said, preacher. I said, yes. She said, is this Denny Castle? And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I have a complaint. I said, what's the matter? She said, my son is upset. This literature these people from your church are giving out. I said, what's the matter? She said, well, he's upset, my son. Yeah. I said, what is it, ma'am? She said, it was Christmas time. And have you ever seen that little track? It's got it's called Ho Ho. It's got Santa Claus on the front of it. Have you ever seen that? Oh, Lord, it is. That's a mean track. It's got a picture of Santa Claus on the front of it, but he's got horns sticking out the tail, and it's a pitchfork. And he's saying the name of it's Ho Ho. And all it's saying is that Santa Claus has took the place of Jesus at Christmas. I'll let you know. I mean, you know, it is pretty rough, but it's a pretty good little track. She said this picture of Santa Claus with horns and a pitchfork. I said, now what's it? I said, ma'am, I don't know. Maybe that was maybe that wasn't from our church. Oh, it's got your name on it. I said, well, it must have been. I said, now listen, or I said something like that. I said, I'm not responsible for what all these people do. I don't run their lives. They want to go give out tracts, that's their business. I don't tell them what they can do. You know, the preacher gets the blame for everything any of the members do. And you know what I told her? I said, now, ma'am, maybe, she said, well, it's got my son upset. They gave him one out there at the shopping center the other day, and he's all the pieces. I said, now listen, ma'am, we didn't mean a bit of harm by that. We just tell our kids at our church there ain't no such thing as a big fat man that flies through the air and comes down their chimney. There ain't no such thing. That's a lie. And somebody said we was a cult because we said that. I said, you mean we're a cult because we're telling people the truth? I don't go off the deep end on it and heart and go crazy. I know about pagan, you know. I know about paganism and all that stuff. And I'll still give my kids a gift for Christmas, and I'll take one from any of you that'll buy me one. I think you all ought to buy me something this year.
Amen.
I'm not that pagan, amen. I don't believe all that. I don't believe giving them gifts is pagan, brother. I believe in that. But anyway, I said, I just think that mom and daddy ought to get the credit for it. She said, but he's upset saying that Santa Claus is a devil. I said, now listen, ma'am. I said, just try to explain to him. She said, that daddy is Santa Claus. She said, that's what the problem is. She said, I told him that. Now he thinks his daddy's a devil. I said, oh no. I said, oh, no, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that at all. I did not mean it like that. I said, ma'am, please, honest to goodness, that was not our intention. She said, well, what are you going to do? I said, what can I do for you? She said, Well, I just think, blah, 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 blah. Finally, I got her address, and I didn't know, I went out and bought that little boy a present and mailed it to him. I didn't know what else to do for him. But did you know what? People, you're going to catch it. The preacher's going to catch it. The preacher's going to catch it. And there is no, I don't know how much you pay this guy, but I guarantee you it ain't enough in dollars and cents to put up with what he's got to put up with. And I'll get to that in a minute. Well, let me say lastly the third thing. What'd you do? I have to put in another tape? There'll be a set of tapes available at tonight's service. Number three, you ought to support him. You ought to support him. Amen. Now, there's three ways you support your pastor. Number one, with your prayers. Number two, with your presence. Number three, with your pocketbook. Those three ways you are expected, biblically, to support the man of God. First of all, your prayer. He ought to be tops on your prayer list outside of your own individual family. Your pastor should be number one on your prayer list. Not a TV evangelist. Not a TV radio evangelist, your pastor. It's him that worries over your soul every week. It's him that marries your young'uns and buries your dead relatives. And it's him that's there for you when you go to the hospital and have an operation. And that visits your husband. And those TV preachers don't do that for you. That's your pastor. He is to be tops. I would doubt need somebody back home praying for me right now. This Sunday morning when I stand up to preach, you'll notice a couple of ladies in our church and several men will just disappear. You know what they're doing? The other Sunday morning, we had a visiting preacher. Hardly ever have a visiting preacher on Sunday morning. And I come around the outside of the church and I come around the parking lot. I heard somebody hollering or screaming. And there's several of the boys, young preacher boys, out in the bus. One of our buses just hollering to the top of their lungs. Oh, God! Oh, Lord! There's a praying for God's man as he prayed. You know, Sister Parker that sang every Sunday morning while I'm preaching. She's up in the choir room down on her knees praying for me while I preach. Every Sunday, there's another lady. And they're down there. The whole sometimes they louder than I am. And boy, sometimes they get out there and they pray. Listen, you ought to pray for your preacher. It might be him that keeps your kids out of hell. It might be him that God uses to keep your marriage together. It might be him that God uses to get that kid straightened out that's on drugs. Support him with your prayers. As brother said something a while ago about the deacons and Moses and all of that. Moses, you know that story over there? When he'd hold up his hands, the Israelites would win. And boy, Moses, stand up for a minute, brother. Lay your Bible down there and stand up. Hold your hands up just like that. And a little bit higher. Now, and he just stand there. Now, we're going to leave him there for about 35 or 40 minutes, okay? Nope, I'll put that on my... Now, listen, bro. He's standing there. And, boy, they went out there, and he was praying, oh, God, give the victory. And, boy, they was down there, and pow, 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 pow. Like that, you know, and there's a beating them up. But after a while, his hands would get heavy. And, brother, I'll guarantee you, he's only been doing that maybe 25 seconds, and it won't be just a minute or two. Them old arms is going to start burning. And Moses had to do that all day long. There ain't nobody in here that could do that for maybe 30 minutes without just starting to burn right in here. And you think, oh boy, I got to... You may think that looks easy, but you try to do it for 30 minutes or 40 minutes or an hour. It was early in that morning, 7 o'clock that morning he's standing there. 8 o'clock that morning he's still standing there. 9 o'clock that morning he's still standing there. 10 o'clock that morning he's still standing there. And the Bible said Moses' hands were heavy. Are they starting to hurt a little bit? Now you just stay right there now. Just stay right there. And then finally, brother, Moses' hands were heavy and he thought, I can't do it. Listen, your preacher's not indispensable. He does have a limit. He can only do so much. People think he can just stand there all day long. And boy, he's the preacher. He's God's man. He's got extra power. It's just as hard for him to hold his arms up as it is you. And boy, you know what? Moses let his hands down. And when he did, the enemy started winning. And boy, they said, oh Lord, we got to get his hands back up. And so Aaron and boy, that one of them got under one hand, held him up like that. They put a rock in there and said, sit down, preacher. The other deacon got over here on the other hand and held him up. And as long as they held up his hands, God's people won the battle. And the Lord blessed the church. You know what they are nowadays? The preacher's over there about to die with his arm, and the deacon's over here doing pull-ups on him. Oh, and boy, I'll tell you what, instead of a blessing, they're an extra burden on the man of God. Getting tired? About 10, 15 more minutes. Just stand there. And boy, I'll tell you what, buddy. Listen, is it? Get them up, get them up, get them up. You're drooping. You're drooping. And I'll tell you, brother, they you're to support him with your prayer. Okay, brother, you can sit down. You can sit down. Listen, that's where it is. God's man needs you to get behind him. Write him a note once in a while. Say, preacher, we love you. We're praying for you. Then there's a second way you ought to support your pastor. I'm going to hurry. You ought to support him with your presence. With your presence, amen? Be there to back him up. Be there. Be there. When you join this church, you were saying, I'll be faithful the best of my ability. If I'm not hindered in some way beyond my control, you know what that means? Every time them doors is open, you trot your little self through them doors and be in your place in the house of God. You say, well, I've got a ball fooey on the ball game. When it's time to go to the house of God, the Lord comes first. Support him with your presence. Hey, you don't believe it, but he can get up on Sunday morning and I'll guarantee you he can tell you just like that who ain't here.
Yeah, that's right.
He said, I'll take off his seat one Sunday and I'm awful tired and I'm going to lay in and rest. And he knows it too.
Yeah, right.
Amen.
On Sunday morning, I can scan across the congregation and on the way to eat dinner, I start saying, so-and-so wasn't there. So-and-so wasn't there. So-and-so wasn't there. And all evening, people hit my mind. Wonder where they're at. Wonder what's wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
And it bothers the preacher. He cares about you.
Yeah.
Now you ladies, you just turn this thing around a little bit. Let's just suppose that you spoke to your husband and you said, honey, I'm going to have Brother Jerry and his wife and the family kid, however many kids they got, I want to have them over to eat Sunday with us. And he said, I think that's a good idea. I'll ask him Wednesday night. So Wednesday night you come up to the preacher and say, preacher, you just got anywhere to go eat Sunday? And he'll say, no, I don't reckon. He said, how about coming over and eating with me and the family? My wife says she's going to cook up a good meal for you. He says, great, man, we'll be there. So on Thursday night, you call over there and you say, talk to his wife. Say, now, y'all going to be there on Sunday? Yes, we'll be right straight over after church. We're looking forward to it. Now, you know what you do. Boy, you run around all weekend. You say, I've got to have extra money to go to the grocery store because he likes country-style steak and gravy. And I bet you like country-style steak and gravy, don't you? And boy, he's got to have them big old cathead biscuits. And boy, I'll tell you, the preacher likes he likes that cream-style corn. And preacher likes green beans. I'm going to really put it out for it. And you work all week long. You go to the grocery store and you spend about double what you usually spend. And you worry all the Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I mean, you're just looking so forward. You clean the house. Boy, you're in there and you're cleaning up the bathroom, making it all smell good. And have the floors mopped and waxed and vacuum all the carpet. You threaten them kids with their life. You say, but you keep that room clean. If I come in there and find a bunch of junk, the preacher's coming over. The preacher's coming to eat with us. And buddy, I'll tell you, you mind your manners and let them eat first and don't you pick your nose and keep your hands out of your food and you threaten everybody in the family. You know why? On Saturday nights you're up late. You can't go to Walmart and go shopping. You're at home getting everything ready. And boy, on Sunday morning you're up and you're putting that meat, on and cooking it in a crock pot or whatever you do it with. Or maybe you're putting you got everything all ready up so that you can just come right straight home, stick them biscuits in the oven and have it hot, piping hot to set on the table when the preacher gets there. And boy, you can't think of it all Sunday morning. You worry and you're up early getting all of that done. Then you get the kids up. Then you get the family ready. Then you go to, you can't pay attention all during Sunday school. You can't pay attention all during preaching. You're saying, I don't know if I've done this, I've done that, I've done that. And just as soon as that invitation starts, here you go out the door, like that, you know, out in the car and you're going home. Your mind ain't even on the service yet. You got the preacher and his wife coming over. You run straight in and say, now honey, you go in there and get that. Set the table. Go in there. Honey, you put some ice in the glasses. Everything, boy, you're getting it all ready, you know. You got that oven on. You want the biscuits to be right so he'll really brag on them and have that hot butter going down all over them biscuits and you want it all to be right. And boy, about that time the aroma starts coming out of that oven, it smells real good. And you say, well, I wonder where they're at. He said, now they'll be here just any minute. He said, well, these biscuits are just about done. Where are they? He said, well, somebody want to talk to him at church, or he's having a council with somebody. Somebody's getting saved. Well, they can get saved anytime. Don't you know he's supposed to be over here to eat? And boy, he don't come. And 10 minutes later, he still ain't there. And 15 minutes, he still ain't there. And the biscuits are out and they're getting cold. By this time, you're walking the floor. Where is he? He could have called. Buddy, they better be somebody getting saved. They better be 10 or 15 getting saved. He better have. And you're saying, honey, why don't you go over there and look? Maybe they've had a wreck or something. They told me, did they say there's going to be? Yeah, they said there's going to be here. They told us they'd be right over here. Boy, you'd be hot, wouldn't you? And boy, and it got about 4 o'clock that evening. You've done eat a little bite and gotten mad and cussed him under your breath. And put everything under the refrigerator. You're saying, I'll tell you one thing, it'll be a snowing you know where when I invite him back over here. The least he could have done was have the courtesy to call us or tell us that something come up. I ain't even going back Sunday night. But you go on back Sunday night and he comes up, hey sister, God bless you. Say, preacher, where were you today? Why wasn't you here to eat with us? He said, oh, you know, I know I told you I'd come, but you know, we got a thing about old Aunt Sally, and I ain't seen her in months and months, and we decided we'd run over there, but I appreciate you doing that for us anyway. Ah, you're killing, weren't you? I saw his eyes out! There ain't a one of you would say, well, God bless you. That's all right. That's all right. I understand. That's what we got to do. How would you like to be him? All week long, he studies, he prays, he stays up into the wee hours of the morning trying to get a meal ready to serve you on Sunday morning and lay it out there on the table so you can have something to eat. He worries over your kids. He worries over your family. And he says, God, let me make sure everything's right. He can't go to Walmart on Saturday night neither. He's got to stay and prepare the meal for Sunday morning, and you don't even show up. And yet, he's got to accept any little old flimsy excuse you throw at him and smile like it's all right. If he don't, he's got a bad attitude. You support him with your presence. Amen. Then finally, you support him with your pocketbook. Yes, sir. And the illustration of the Levites in the Old Testament, the people laid up 10% of everything they made, and the Levites lived off that 10%. Your pastor is your main missionary. He's supposed to be taken care of first, whether any missionaries get anything or not. Because if you ain't got a pastor, you ain't never going to support no missions. There wouldn't even be a church here if it wasn't for the pastor. He is tops. Amen. On your support list. Amen. He is supposed to be taken care of. Thou shalt not muzzle the ox. Amen. That treads out the corn. Buddy, if you've got an ox here that treads the corn, brother, he's not supposed to be tied down and worried down with a bunch of bills and stuff that he can't make. He's supposed to be free from that so he can tread the corn, man. So he can get the job done that God's given him to do. Don't be a burden. Be a blessing to your pastor.
That's right, bro.
I can't imagine. I cannot imagine anybody in a business meeting and somebody getting up saying, I think we ought to give the pastor a raise. I cannot imagine anybody being against it. I can't imagine anybody being that wicked. How can you get so wicked? Why would you be against happening? Well, I'll tell you one thing. Well, I believe we're getting about enough. Why? We can't afford it. Listen, that ain't your money anyway. That's God's money. He comes before the carpet. He comes before the parking lot. Well, I believe we ought to save that money and pay for the parking lot. Drive on dirt, man. Take care of God's man. Preacher's a whole lot harder to find than the parking lot is. You don't believe it. Some of you folks ain't never had another preacher. You don't know what it's like trying to find one that believes the book. And I will tell you here tonight, friend, he's worth
everything. Well, the Bible said he's counted worthy of double honor. That means he ought to make at least twice what any of you make. That's mean, wasn't it? I don't even believe that, but the Bible says it. I don't practice it, but the Bible says it, don't it? He's counted worthy of double honor. And that word honor there is talking about financial support in the book of Timothy. You can't get out of it. Worthy of double honor. Now really, I think the preacher ought to be at least taken care of as good as most people in the church.
Amen.
If you're eating steak, he ought to be eating steak. If you got two cars, he ought to have two cars. Now if you're all broke and living off just beans and corns, then he'd be happy to do that. But he ought not to be way down here and you way up here. Most people's prayer is, Lord, we'll keep him poor if you'll keep him humble. They're against. Hey, how would you feel? Where you work at, brother?
Russell Mills.
Okay. Mills?
Yeah.
Is it a meal?
Yeah.
You got a supervisor?
Yeah.
How would you feel if your supervisor had a meeting and called in some of the big shots in your plant and called your pastor over there and said, listen, you're a preacher, right? We're thinking about old so-and-so. What's your first name?
Tim.
Brother Tim. He'd say, Tim. He'd say, we're thinking about giving Tim a raise. What do you think about it? Would that hurt your feelings if your preacher said, no, I think he's already getting as much as he deserves?
Yeah.
Boy, that wouldn't make you feel too good, would it? That would hurt. As a matter of fact, you'd probably get mad, wouldn't you? There's an honest man right there. He'd get mad. And anybody else. And you say, my preacher had a chance to help me get a raise, and he wouldn't? What's he got against me? What have I done to him? I'll guarantee you, Brother Jerry wouldn't do that. He'd say, praise God, give it to him. Amen. I'll guarantee you, he could help any one of you get a raise. He would. Anyone. Why would you be against him? Boy, some of y'all are looking at me a little strange tonight. He's paying me $50 to say all this stuff. No, he ain't really. He had no idea I was going to preach on this. He probably would have died if I'd have told him I was going to preach this tonight. Why would you be against that? You reckon the devil might be in you? I don't understand. Hey, if I could vote to get anybody in here a raise and you're a Christian, you do, I'd say, glory to God, double his salary. If his boss man called me and said, you know Tim, I'd say, yeah. He'd say, we're thinking about doubling his salary. What do you think? I'd say, hallelujah, give it to him. He's my brother in Christ. I want to help him out. Well, I'm afraid he'll get the big head. Most preachers I know of ain't got the big head. They're about to die from the little head. But if they're discouraged now, they feel like throwing in a towel. You don't know what it means. Listen, our church has always been good to me. I have to tell them to lay off, really. They're doing stuff for me all the time. They always done something special for my birthday. And I told them to quit. They want to have Pastor Appreciation Day. And I said, now listen, if you're going to have Pastor Appreciation Day, forget the birthday. And so every year on our anniversary, the first Sunday in March, now they're having Pastor Appreciation Day. Year before last, they bought me that car sitting out there. I just walked out, and there it sat in the parking lot with a big red bow on top of it. Just what I wanted. And I said, hallelujah. Hey, listen. Hey, man, that thing's a 1990. It's got 56,000 miles on it. 1 year old. The car is bought in 1990, and I'm using it for the Lord, brother. And you know who's going to get the credit for it? They are. I want a Cadillac. I don't want them. I'd like to have a Mercedes, but I wouldn't have a Mercedes. I think they're nice, but I wouldn't have one because people, you know, talk about you like a dog. But I tell you what, I mean, I'm satisfied with a Honda or a Toyota or something like that. I don't think that's asking too much to get the man of God where he needs to get to preach the gospel. Who goeth to warfare anytime at his own charges? When we sent them boys over to Desert Storm, they didn't have to go work during the day on a job and pay their own way and buy their own jets. We took care of them and said, you fight that battle. We'll buy the jets and buy your meal and buy your boots and buy your guns. Well, nobody don't go to warfare at their own charge, people. Don't work that way. Boy, don't you need to hear this tonight? Hallelujah. We'll shout, man. Help him out. I believe you ought to have Pastor Appreciation Day. I don't know if you do, but every year you ought to have one day set aside. And boy, I mean, just make a big day. You say, preacher, there's no way we can afford to buy him a car. Well, maybe you can't. But I'll tell you what, you can give him, you ought to be able to at least give him $100 for every year he's been your pastor. 6 years, $600, 7 years, $700, the 8th year, give him $800. I mean, that's just a little teeny suggestion, like a little bonus for being God's man, for being faithful. And write him a letter and say, preacher, you was preaching when I got saved, and I appreciate you. Listen, at least twice a year, if a man works for the telephone company, if a man works for the U.S. government, if a man's any kind of representative for any sales business or any business in the world, they send him to seminars and training courses, and they furnish him a plane ticket there and back so he can be up on the latest. Any church ought to send their pastor at least twice a year to some camp meeting, some Bible conference, some place to get his soul fed. When he comes back, you'll be the one that benefit from it. A lot of preachers tell them, they said, we'd like to come to camp meeting, but we can't afford it. Lord, have mercy, a church ought to send their pastor and pays way there and back.
Amen.
Say, we just happen to have one coming up next month.
Amen.
Send him up there, boy. He'll come up going fire for God so much, he'll preach a bark off of trees around here. You ought to support him with your pocketbook. If you got a lawyer working for you and you call him down at his office during the middle of the week, and ask him one legal question, he'll put about $25 on your bill. He's a professional. He's trained in his business. If you're in the hospital and a doctor comes by and gives you a pill and says, how are you doing today? It adds about $20 on your bill. It's like that. He's a professional. Listen, the man of God is a professional. And what if he charged you $20 every time he just come by to check on you when you was in the hospital and you got a bill for it? You'd say, that low down story. He don't charge. He goes at his own expense, pays his own gas, and visits you. He could be at home. He could be at home enjoying the evening with his family. He was, I don't believe, like an evangelist. I'm not saying this because I'm an evangelist, but when an evangelist comes in to preach, he'll say, oh, you mean we're going to give him money and all he does is get up there and preach every night? Listen, man, this is a week of my life.
Yeah.
It's not just like I'm getting up here talking every night.
Yeah.
This is 24 hours a day. I'm stuck in a motel. I'm doing something like that. My kids is at home. They don't have a mom or a daddy. They're at home with a babysitter tonight when I could be there with them. My baby's 4 years old. They need me tonight.
Yeah.
The preacher makes sacrifices for you.
Amen.
Now you're going to pay a man 24 hours a day. I'm not ashamed for what I'm telling you tonight. I'm not a bit embarrassed. You get mad at me, I'll preach it again tomorrow night.
Amen.
You know what I'm telling you is the truth.
I'll
tell you what, I'm going to cut her off right there tonight, and I want you to do something for me tonight. And I want you, the more you do for your pastor, the more God will bless this church.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
He sure will.
Yeah.
I've never seen it fail yet. Every time they do something for me, our church seems like offerings go up.
Yeah.
Honest, it beats all I ever seen.
Amen.
And I tell them, say, no, we can't afford to do that. Yeah, now, preacher, we're going to do this. This year, Pastor Appreciation Day, they paid my driveway and done a whole bunch of other stuff. And a bunch of them wrote me little notes and cards and said, Brother Danny, I thank you for preaching to me. And they put $20 in and they'd say, here, take your girls out to eat.
Amen.
They'll never know what that meant to me. Man, it made me want to get my Bible and just charge up. Boy, it made me want to it made me want to do things I'm not able to do.
Right. Yeah.
I've been in a testimony meeting here a while back. This ain't got nothing to do with the sermon, but I'm just going to tell you this. Since we've done been around the world tonight. You know, sometimes, boy, you just get fired up and you think you can do everything. I was preaching in a church and it really got good. And there's an old boy up one night. He hadn't been saved very long. He got up and he started testifying. He said, praise God, I'm saved. Woo! And it went on like that. It was almost 11 o'clock at night. I got through preaching at about 9. They testified for about an hour and a half. And it's about 10:30. And I was sitting over here on this piano stool. And I was all sweaty, you know, and everything. And I'd put my jacket on or something. I was just sitting there enjoying it. There's people popping up all over the church. And the preacher's up here, you know, you say anybody else, boy, I mean, they was confessing things, they was getting right. There's one old boy. He hadn't been saved very long now. I'm just going to tell you what he said. It's awful, but I'm just going to say what he said.
Yeah.
And he wasn't trying to be ugly. I mean, he was praising God. He was sincere. He got up, he said, praise God, I'm saved. Woo! I'm saved! I'm saved! He got all carried away and got up in the spirit, you know. He said, praise God, I'm saved. Hallelujah, I'm saved. He said, I'm so saved, I could swing out over hell on a grapevine and shoot the devil a bird and just keep on going. And everybody in the church went... And I was sitting over here and I went, oh, Lord. And the preacher, bless his heart, his face turned about that color. Everybody was stunned, man. They were just stunned. And that old boy, he didn't even realize what he was just saying. Glory to God. Woo! I catch you now. Finally, it got quieting down. The preacher said, well... I guess if you're going to shoot anybody, one, it ought to be the devil. Everybody said, amen, hallelujah. You know, you say, that ain't got nothing to do with that sermon tonight. I just told you that. That really happened, honest. That really happened. I want to tell you something, people. A preacher's hard to find.
Amen. Amen.
It's hard to find one of these Bible believers that's got any love. You know that? Thing about it is, these lovey-dovey guys are sissies and compromisers, and the ones that believe the Bible is mean as a devil and beat you over the head with it. It's hard to find a man that believes the King James Bible, but yet has some compassion on people, and loves people, and tries to help people. They're hard to find, I'm telling you. They're hard to find. Somebody gave me this. Every year, we take our couples, a bunch of married couples on a bus to up there in the Smoky Mountains in Gatlinburg on a honeymoon retreat, you know. We try to be a blessing to their marriages and everything. We call it a honeymoon. I go with them, you know, to be their chaperone. I preach to them or something, say something to them on the way over there and stuff like that. We take all kinds of groups. I go with all the groups. We take the teenagers on a trip, I go with them. We take our adult singles, I go with them. We take our... married couples, I go with them. And while we was over there, one of them bought me this in a little bookstore, and it's just stuck in my Bible this evening. It says this: thank you for our pastor, Lord. He teaches us much about you, not only by preaching from your word, but in his actions too. He counsels when we come with problems, deeply and warmly he cares, but never does he breathe a word except to the master upstairs. He visits faithfully the sick and old, always with a happy face. We know when he prays, he is God's man, for we feel your God's saving grace. And they gave me that and gave me $20 and told me to eat supper on it. Just a couple in our church that I've tried to help. Oh, they don't know what that meant to me, a little thing like that. You say, Brother Danny, I ain't got $20 to give preacher. That ain't what he's interested in. He just wants to know you're behind him and that you love him. You know something? I don't know exactly how or even if we should give an invitation tonight. I think what I might do is have him to come and get us a song. And why don't we... Oh, I don't know. You got any deacons? Do you have deacons in this church?
One set aside.
One set aside. It's this man right here, right? Leave him sitting there a few years.
Yeah.
That's why you're doing so good. No, I'm just kidding. There ain't nothing wrong with having deacons.